Hello, folks. This is Preston on behalf of Radio Connection Live, the podcast. Hope you are doing well. The following, we are about to bring you is a special bonus episode. Yep, you heard right. This week, we sit down and talk with the legendary, marvelous Marvin Boone from Tampa Bay. He is doing radio in the Bay Area of Florida and has been for 43 years. We get to share what his experiences got him today, and we also learn more about his career a bit. Now, just so you know, he did have a remote to go to, so that's why his interview was short, but we will have a part two, and we'll let you know about that as soon as we get information about that. So we hope you enjoy. Remember, you can catch us anywhere you get your podcast by searching Radio Connection Live. Facebook is at facebook.com/radioconnectionlive. Twitter at RCL the podcast. And if you want to leave any of your thoughts, you're welcome to do so by sending an email to rclthepodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for listening. And the following is a special RCL presentation.
So what do you get when you take a bunch of radio freaks, set them in front of live microphones, and let them talk about radio? Well, you get the coolest show about the radio on the radio. Broadcasting from RCO Plaza, this is Radio Connection Live, the podcast, where AM is analog, FM is king, and the smart speaker has taken the place of the terrestrial radio as the listening apparatus of choice. It's your show worldwide, and we want to hear from you. We're on Twitter at RCL the podcast. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/radioconnectionlive or email us at rclthepodcast@gmail.com. And now, get ready to become involved in the very latest in broadcasting news, entertainment, and just plain fun. Here are the stars of our show, Preston, Tim, AJ, Ashley, Darnell. And put your hands together for our host, Mr. Jamie T.
Oh, man. Have we got a show for you today? Welcome to Radio Connection Live, the podcast, everybody. I'm Jamie. So glad to be with you again, literally, for another great episode of RCL, the podcast. We got Tim in the building. Hey, Tim.
I'm here, anxiously awaiting our guest, mm-hmm. and ready to pose a few interesting questions, I hope.
Yep. Ashley is here out of Music City. Hey, Ashley.
Hello, guys. How are you? Happy Tuesday. Right. It's raining.
Yay.
Yeah, Preston is here. What's up, Preston?
Hello, all. I'm doing well. It's been a tippy-toppy morning between trying to switch roles and trying to get, you know, things straightened out with our guests. But it's safe to say all things are fixed, and we're ready for a dynamic show. And I did my homework, just to let you know. I took a listen today, and he is pretty awesome. So
yes, he is.
You're in for
yes,
a treat, folks.
Oh yeah. So, all right, folks. We have a lot to get to with this interview, guys. There comes a time in every radio freak's life when you get a chance to talk to the voice that you've been hearing out of your speakers, pretty much since you were a baby. I think that when I was born, this man probably. You know, I think he was probably playing the Monkees in the speakers of the hospital I was born in. Who knows? Well, all I know is, guys, our guest today is a Tampa Bay radio legend, and he's going to tell us more about that. He's a great guy. I've met him. He's DJed at events at my lighthouse for the blind here in Tampa Bay. Everybody, give a warm RCL welcome to Marvelous Marvin, everybody.
Yay!
Yay!
Oh, man, underwhelming, isn't it, Marvin?
Well, I was all excited. I thought, well, these guys are going to have a radio legend on the show. I'm glad I was listening, and then it turned out to be me. Now, all of a sudden, I'm disappointed.
Marvin, dude, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to talk with us today. And I got to tell you, guys, I've heard this guy on two different radio stations over the last 15, 16 years, and I'm getting ahead of myself. Marvin, so tell us, so, and Marvin, I think Tim knows you from high school, right, Tim?
Well, no, apparently not. I don't know. I don't know what I'm thinking half the time, so that's not unusual. But at any rate, we'll just kind of proceed and see where this takes us.
Okay. So, Marvin, tell us how you got your start. And of course, we'll open up the floor for questions too. Tell us how you got your start and what led to what you do now, and tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I used to actually have a real job. In fact, I had a bunch of real jobs, and I got tired of working. And I was actually a drummer in bands, too, but I got tired of being drunk all the time and being with a bunch of guys that are fighting all the time. And I thought, how can I still go to bars, impress the chicks, and not have to lug around a big drum set? I know, I'll be a DJ.
Right.
And that's pretty much what happened. And I went to a broadcasting school, and my dad was actually a DJ in 1950. Then in 1955, two things happened. Rock and roll came out, and I came out. That's when I was born. And my dad, when rock and roll came out, goes, oh, I can't play this stuff. And he became a newsman, but he worked in radio and TV news for 45 years. But that's not how I got into the business. He didn't want me to go into the business. After a series of jobs that I had out of high school, working in a nursery, not with children, but planting plants, driving a truck, working at a loading dock, managing being a breakfast manager at a McDonald's, and then working in a factory and all that same time still playing in bands at night, I decided that maybe I should see if I could make a go at radio, because it seemed, again, like a pretty fun thing. And I went to broadcasting school behind my dad's back. He didn't know I was going to the school until, this was in Cleveland, Ohio, the Ohio School of Broadcasting Technique is what they called it. And he didn't know that I was even going to the school until someone who taught at the school who worked with him at a radio station. That's what was great about that school. The people who taught the school were actually on the radio. You could listen to them in Cleveland, and they were your teachers. So, you know, they knew what they were talking about. We used to have people from college come over and take our course at our school because they didn't get any real experience. And their professors were never really DJs, or if they were, they weren't good, and that's why they were professors, or they were too smart to be DJs. But either way, that you couldn't get any real radio experience. So I went to the broadcasting school. They had a placement service. That's how I ended up from Cleveland, Ohio, to Newport Richey, Florida, a radio station WGUL in 1978. I've been in Tampa Bay for 43 years now, this on the radio, coming up this October, and I've stayed in one market because basically I have no ambition. Why would you want to leave here? People that do leave here all want to come back. You know, radio, they go to big jobs, they get fired, they want to come back, and they can't get back. And I found out if you just stay in one town long enough on the radio, you become a legend because you outlive everybody else.
That's fascinating. What was WGUL's format at that point?
It was, first it was PM, a jingle company out of Dallas, Texas. It's still around. Pants. It was beautiful music. It'd be like what they used to call elevator music. It'd be like easy listening instrumental versions of top 40 hits. And then after about a year of that, and by the way, once I was doing that show, running the board, the music was so easy and relaxing, I actually fell asleep during the show.
No.
Someone had to call me and wake me up, and I had to flick a switch so we could hear some more Mantovani. But then about a year
been
later,
there, done that. Yes, a, yes.
And now, then now, they now, do you, switched to Music of Your Life after about a year of that, a format that's still going strong today.
Now,
and
GUL,
then
Marvin.
The AM station, and then the FM station was TM Stereo Rock. That was the format. It was basically just tapes that played the rock hits of the day, you know, Spandau Ballet. And we're talking like 1978, and I was there till 83. But Saturday nights, I decided, not sure really how it started, but I decided to go on the radio Saturday nights as my first live real radio DJ and play oldies and take requests. But I had no idea what I was doing, so I actually took requests and played records from home, which is what, you know, people thought DJs do. They think that they're actually playing requests and playing their favorite music, when in fact, that's not what happens on request shows at all. Request shows are all pre-programmed, and you only play the songs that are approved. Well, I just played records from home, didn't know what I was doing, but because of that, the show is different. And I got noticed by Tampa Bay stations, and that led to me going to Tampa Bay from Newport Richey. Went to 96 Fever, where I took over their Saturday request show, which that's when I found out request shows weren't request shows until I took it over.
Okay, so GUL was 105.5 at that point, right?
The FM was, yeah, 105.5. We called it.
Right.
It didn't help that we were right next to 105, and our AM was AM 1500.
Oh, I forgot that. Yeah, that's right, because 860 back then was WAZE, 86 Ways. So yeah, that's right. And GUL had a signal problem. They reached about half of Pinellas County, because they only had like 3,000 watts.
It was a low signal. Yeah, it wasn't a problem. It was a low signal radio station. They were sundown, sunrise to sundown. If you got to turn the station off at night, and the AM was great because then you could hear some Biloxi, Mississippi. Illegal, but we got some good. When you got a call from Mississippi, you knew that you were breaking the FCC law and you could lose your license, but it was thrilling at the same time. Oop, I better go power down.
So you're we're talking to Marvelous Marvin today here on Radio Connection Live. So you're at WGUL, and Marvin, there I want to shout out some names to you. You might know at least some of these guys. Denny Bateman, Les Forster.
Forrester actually fired my sister. She worked there at night and then I quit and went to 96 when he was doing a live remote. He was my program director, and I showed up and I quit as he was starting to do a remote broadcast, and I laughed all the way driving to Clearwater to start my first overnight shift at 96, because he realized as he's doing this live broadcast, he was the one that had to get up at 5 in the morning and do the show, and he could barely talk, so it was great entertainment.
96 Fever was all disco at that point, right?
I came at the tail end, just before they became, so 96 Fever quickly became Magic 96. It was Magic 96 when I got there, and then it was Mix 96.
Oh, they were a format of
then
the month club.
95.7, then it was 95.7 Light Rock, and they did a big survey and decided that didn't work, and so they changed it to Light Rock 95.7.
And then it became Star 95.7.
Did not work. The call letters were WNLT, which we figured out stood for No Listeners Today.
Wow.
Yeah, and we never had listeners until Mason Dixon came back from
I remember
Alabama
that
after he'd been fired from Q105, and when he showed up, all of a sudden we were popular.
Yeah, I remember when 96 made that switch from Beautiful Music or whatever it was they were doing. It was WTAN FM at the time.
That's a totally different radio station. WMGG. We were never WTAN.
Yeah, but see, the owners of 96 Fever owned WTAN at one point, and then they decided to switch it to disco.
They never owned, not when I was there. The owners were up in Cleveland, Ohio, strange enough. They owned the radio school I went to, which had nothing to do with why I was there, but I don't know what happened there before that, so I'm talking about 1983, so whatever happened there before that, I have no idea. In fact, I'm not even sure what's happening now.
Okay, well, I go back. I was born in Columbus, Ohio, and I moved to the Tampa Bay area back in about 1960, and so I know the Tampa Bay radio history from the 60s. And a good friend of mine used to work there at 96 Fever. Her name was Carla. Do you remember her?
No. I never really worked at 96 Fever. They were Magic 96 pretty much when I got there.
Okay, yeah.
Rainbow and all that stuff. I remember the rainbow stickers. Never a part of that.
Well, they were kind of a format of the month club there for a while. I mean, as you said, they every 3 months they changed their logo and their imaging and everything else,
and
trying
and
to find a sound.
The thing was, they spent the the crazy thing was, they spent $10,000 for a consultant to come to town and listen to the station and tell us what to do. And he said just what you said. He said, you guys, your problem is you change formats all the time. And with that information, it cost them $10,000. They changed the format again.
I love it.
Wow. Okay, so WGUL, you brought up WGUL, and I guess eventually you would go to RB to the Q eventually, right? So what happened after GUL? So we're talking 83, 84, right? And then what happened going forth?
I'm not sure what happened 10 minutes ago. Now you're really testing me here. It's funny because I would stay at one company for like 13 years, talking 96. So they were Mix 96, then Magic 96, then Light Rock 95.7, then 95.7 Light Rock. So to the public, it was four different radio stations, but really it was the exact same place. And then they also bought WHBO, and then I worked with Howard Hughes and Scott Robbins at WHBO doing the oldies. I was the music director. And then when Scott left, I did the morning show at WHBO and then did midday show at Mix 96.
Now, this is before WHBO. This is before WHBO changed frequencies from 1050 to 1040, right?
I have no idea. When I got there, it was 1040. No one told me what happened before. But okay. I do know this, that the only way I could tell the difference, because it would be confusing, you know, working at two radio stations on the same day, every day, you'd be afraid to say the wrong station. But I knew when I was facing north, I was at WHBO. When I was facing south, I was at Mix 96.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Because I know WHBO, which is now a talk station, ironically, owned by Genesis. And I remember for a while, there was another station here, 1470, which when I moved back up here, because I'm a Tampa native myself, when I moved back up here, they were a business talk format. Then eventually they switched to Mega Memories 1470. They were still licensed to Dunedin. And then they went different formats. But I think, were you there in the WCWR days at 1470?
No, I was only at 1040 WHBO for a brief time before. And when Mason Dixon came to 96, then they ceased that whole station, and they just simulcast 96 for a while before they sold it off.
Wow. Wow. We're talking to Marvelous Marvin today here on Radio Connection Live, the podcast. So after 96 Fever, which by the way is now, it's 95.7 The Beat, they were also for a while called Star 95.7. And Christy Knight.
I was at Star 95.7 for 1 year. And it's funny because they kept me. They fired everybody else, but they kept me because I was so closely identified with that station. Then a year later, I got fired because I was so closely identified with that station. So I got a big raise. That's radio. I got a big raise for the same thing I got fired for a year later. So welcome to showbiz, everybody.
So, yeah. Okay. So were you at Star when a young lady by the name of Christy Knight was there?
Yes. And she was with us before Star. She was there. I think her and Party Marty. Yeah, I've known Christy forever. I just talked to her a couple of days ago. I still run into her. And
yeah,
she worked with Mason Dixon when we were all together. And
right. And she,
I was with Mason for 20 years over three different radio stations. Then when the economy, and then I got fired from Q105 after working with EOC. We started at 92.5. We were oldies 104.7.
Yeah, and Tim has a story.
U92. I never worked at U92. Scott Robbins worked at U92. Howard Hughes and other people worked at U92. They had a morning show called Alpha and Omega there. I never worked there. And then I started working at Mason when it became Oldies 104.7. But we started out on 92.5, which had a bad signal.
Oh, God, it had a bad signal.
Better
ratings.
Yeah,
no wonder.
There was a country station at that point at 104.7. and our ratings with half the signal were double their ratings, and so we switched frequencies.
Or that I remember that.
It became Latin. They became a Latin station, and we became 104.7. So all day long, I had to say, True Oldies, 104.7. I was like, oh, it's such a mouthful. And then eventually, it was in the works to change it. Q105 had become country.
Right.
So then we took over that frequency, and then it became basically the old Q105 with Mason Dixon.
I remember that frequency swap.
He had a near-fatal car accident. And then that's when we became Q105. And I was there for 13 years, basically, at that frequency. And then when the economy collapsed, Mason Dixon, who hired me, also fired me.
Well, that's not surprising.
Wow. Okay. Oh, wow. That's funny.
Well, listen,
okay,
so, listen, everybody
but I remember. But I remember
radio.
That.
I've been fired so many times, I can't remember how many times I've been fired.
I remember that but day when they did the frequency
say,
swap.
How do you get fired in radio? Well, the number one way to get fired in radio is to have a job in radio.
In radio.
You're going to get fired eventually because everything changes.
Yep. Yep.
Yes.
But I do remember that day, the frequency swap, and what a big, huge thing that was. And Q105, they must have lost their minds. I mean, being the preeminent top 40 radio station back, you know, in those days, and then deciding to flip over and do country. I wonder what genius came up with that idea, because that just did not work for them.
That wasn't the real problem. The real problem was before that, because when MJ and the Power Pig came along.
Oh God,
they
yes.
They pretty much beat Q105 in the ratings, and Q105 did the wrong thing. They counter-programmed against 93.3 instead of doubling down on what made them famous, and that's how they went country, because they actually had no listeners left. Everybody went to 93, so they didn't want to compete with 93 anymore, and they felt that there was an opening hole in the market for country music, so that's how that happened.
Hey Marvin, we actually have some audio of the day Q105 went country. We have some audio of that. So let's go ahead and roll it.
Tampa Bay's radio station, Q105, 105 is exactly the time. Mm-hmm. I am Chuck Bear with the rest of the Q105 family. And quite a family it is.
Here we are.
Yes, we're all here.
I would imagine that right about now there are more radio and TV types and media types listening to this program.
Hi, Mason.
I sincerely hope that will be the last time that name is ever uttered on this radio station. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sure that all of you are aware the last 3 years have been a tumultuous 3 years for us here at Q105, mm-hmm. One of the great radio stations in the history of the country. We have, over the last few months, made a honest, concerted effort to put it back together, and it is just come to the point where we need to do something different. Move on down the road, I'd say.
Be brighter.
Yep.
And we're going to be just as bright as we can possibly get here. But when I came back here from Nashville not too long ago, I think I promised everybody in this room that if whoever played the last top 40 record on this radio station would be me. And I am. And I am sadly keeping that promise to you. And I don't think there's any better way that we could go out than with this one right here. Where's my CD, man? Let's get the whole doggone thing going here. All right.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Who cares about the clouds if we're together? Just sing a song and bring the sunny weather. Happy trails. Here we meet.
And as we begin a new era and wrap up 20 years of some of the greatest broadcasting in the history, I think we'd all just like to say,
We love you, Tampa Bay!
I guess we're going to be hearing a lot of this guy, huh?
Who is this?
I think this is Garth Brooks.
Garth! Blaming all on my roots, I showed up in boots and ruined your blind tie affair. The last one to know, the last one to show.
Interesting about that is that, of course, Happy Trails was how the Q-Zoo always ended their show back with Cleveland and Scott Shannon, and then of course Cleveland and Terrence and Cleveland and whoever else happened to show up there for the zoo after Scott left. But that's how they always ended the Q Zoo in the morning, was that Happy Trails cut.
Yeah, we're talking to Marvelous Marvin today.
I never heard that before because I was never a part of that. It's kind of funny.
yeah. So it's funny because
I worked at some other low rated station. I was trying to think of where I was at that time, what station. It was so low rated and so few listeners, even I didn't listen. I can't even remember what. I was working overnight somewhere because I was in between jobs. So.
Right. So, okay. The crazy thing is, and then we're going to move on after this. Q105 goes country. Which is funny because back then, it's strange now, because back then the only other country station was WQYK at the time. And I think Sun 620 or 620 was playing country music at the time. So you had three different country stations in the same market playing the same kind of music. Two of them would eventually come under the same ownership as Q105. So Q105 was owned by...
That is all thanks to Bill Clinton when he deregulated radio. It used to be there was 20 jobs in one town. When he deregulated radio and then Clear Channel took over, then all of a sudden after a couple of years there was only 3 jobs left in town because 3 big companies owned all the radio stations, and it's like that today. So I used to be able to choose from 20 radio stations to be fired from. Now it's only 3.
Yeah, I think that is without a doubt one of the saddest things that have ever happened to radio. And, you know.
No, that's not the saddest. So that was pretty sad. No, the saddest is, they weren't radio people that bought the radio stations. They were corporations. The radio became a subsidiary and had to turn a profit every quarter.
Right.
Somebody lost a job, and that's when computers came in, because they were a lot cheaper than human beings. So it used to be if you went into a radio station, after the consolidation, you'd find 10 or 15 happy radio people. Now you walk in and you find 10 or 15 computers. I'm not sure if they're happy or not, but they're computers.
So
they took the one thing out of radio that made it special, the human being, the local human being, and they pretty much killed it in the sake of profits.
And, you know, the funny thing about that was when Clear Channel took all those stations over and everything, I thought to myself, oh, wow, Clear Channel, that's a good company. WOAI has always been outstanding.
No, it's a horrible company, and I'll tell you why. Because Lowry Mays, who ran it into the ground,
right,
and ran up such a debt so high that they had to go into the billboard business and other stuff to even try to keep up their payments. When he took over the radio station, they had a big meeting. I was working for J-Corp at the time. That's right. I was doing talk radio WFLA. I followed Bob Lasseter.
Oh, I remember those. I remember those shows very well.
And what happened was that they had a big meeting, and Lowry Mays says, oh, welcome to Clear Channel, everybody. And the first thing he told us is that unless you're in management, this is day one. In other words, if you'd been there for 10 years and got 3 years of vacation and you're on the air, you're back to 1 week of vacation. Unless you're in sales and management, you got to keep your seniority and you got as many vacation days as you used to get. And the other thing was, they basically told us that the insurance, your health insurance, the premiums were going up and the benefits were going down. They more or less told you that. What they didn't tell you is that Clear Channel owned the insurance company. So basically they were just screwing you every which way they could.
Oh, yes.
Indeed. Well, that's Clear Channel to me. It's my fond memories of Clear Channel. And they're so big. I worked there twice. I quit once. They fired me once. And they're so big, they don't even know I was ever there. I was just at a Clear Channel radio reunion last week. And it's funny because everybody wondered how I still look so young. Well, first of all, I'm a vegan. I take care of myself. I exercise. They don't. And there's a lot of them are still in the corporate world, and it takes a toll on you. They all look 10 years older than they were, and I look 10 years younger than I am because I work for a family-owned company, and they treat you like human beings.
And, you know, that's what we do here on this show is we talk a lot on this show about small-town radio, small-market radio, independently-owned stations, and we like to feature.
Something that my dad taught me a long time ago because he went from WHK in Cleveland where he was there for 16 years.
Legendary radio station.
Right. He worked there for 16 years. And when he did the afternoon news with Don Imus. And when they got rid of the afternoon news on format change, they just gave him basically 16 minutes to clean out his desk. And then he went to Elkhart, Indiana, a much smaller market. And I said, Dad, how does that? And I wasn't in radio or anything at the time. And I said, Dad, he says, listen, doesn't matter what microphone you're talking into. You do the best job you know how every day. And I live by that daily. You know, I have a lot less listeners than I did when I was at Q105, but the show is still the same, or if not better, because I've got more experience. It's the pride you take in your job. And if you're upset that you're at a small station and don't care, you're never going to A, keep your job, or B, get to a bigger station. It's the same as if, you know, I've been in bands and done stand-up comedy and all this and that. And if you have no crowd, if you got four people in the audience, you're going, oh, this is not, I'm not into it. I'm just going to don't care. Those four people are going to leave and go, hey, no wonder there's no one here. This guy is not good. But if you give your all, in fact, work even harder when you have a small audience, your job is to entertain people. And if you do a great job with a smaller audience, they're going to go tell people and bring their friends and come back. And
that makes,
I'm going to have to go here in a minute because actually I still work in radio and I got to go cut some commercials. And then another thing I do is remotes. I have to go do a broadcast here in about an hour from a parking lot to sell meat from a truck. So radio is full of opportunities. I would love to join you guys again sometime and talk more. But radio is all about time, and my time is pretty much up. But I've really enjoyed being on the show here, and I'd be happy to join you at any other time and talk about anything with you.
Well, Marvin, let me ask you a question, and this time I'll actually respond to the emails this time because I got so caught up with it with other stuff. You want to come back maybe next week, same time? We'll have everything organized next.
Well, 10 o'clock, and then this time you'll have all the bugs worked out, so I'll have to sit on hold till 10:20. But I will say, while you're on hold and the Zoom service, they do play the best 6 seconds of music over and over and over again that I've ever heard.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, guys. I'm glad, you know, I'm really, really happy that you care about radio because what you do, it really makes me feel good to know that someone has been paying attention. And if you've been listening to this interview, you can tell it wasn't me paying attention. You guys know more about me than I do, and I appreciate that. And I appreciate you guys so much. It's people like you that make radio fun, and it means something, and it still means something, and that's just amazing. You guys are – I'm your heroes. You guys are legends to me, and I really appreciate you guys so much.
Well,
I'm happy to come back at any time.
Marvin, you're on, man. You'll get another email from us.
All right, and don't make me cry now because you'll make my mascara run.
We love you, Marvin. we'll talk to you next time.
I look forward to it. I can't wait to hear how the rest of my career is gone. I'm learning so much about myself here. I'm even taking notes.
Marvin,
well, it has been a pleasure. You've been a hero of mine for many, many years, because I grew up in the Tampa Bay area, and I remember – you know, all those things that you used to do. I wish we could have delved into the 970 time that you were on doing that talk show, because I remember you.
Well, we'll do it the next time. I got some good stories about that, and trust me.
I remember you and your box of worms.
I said open up a box of worms, a bag of worms, actually, I think it was. And the thing was, you know, I followed Bob. I never did talk radio. Didn't know how to do it, and especially in the early days of the show, you could tell. But I followed the best guy who ever did talk radio, in my opinion, Bob Lasseter. So imagine, think about this. Here I'm a guy that's never done it, and I'm following the best ever. I'm like a guy with a ukulele following the Beatles. It was crazy. Ooh. And I was just learning how to play the ukulele. So I learned so much from Bob Lasseter and so much from doing that. And it was a great experience. And
you did some great shows. You were very good at talk. You were very good at it.
And, you know, the crazy thing about that was, if you remember, that's when the impeachment of Bill Clinton was going on. And all day long, you had Mark Larson and Ted Webb and all these guys all talking all day long, politics, politics, politics. I came
but
on at night.
You didn't do that.
I did on purpose. I didn't do that because people, I figured, had enough. I just wanted to talk about life and be humorous and just relate to people as a real human being. The other stuff was a bunch of, again, there was nothing left to be said. However, on the other hand, had I been like more like a Rush Limbaugh type, which is what they really wanted, I could have been Glenn Beck and I could be rich as hell. But you know what? I could never do that because that's not me.
You wouldn't be happy doing
that. One thing I've learned how to be is you have to be yourself. And in radio school, they taught me this. They said, there's always going to be somebody with a better voice than you. There's always going to be somebody funnier than you, but nobody can be more you than you. That's all you have. And that's what you go for. And that's what's really worked for me. People appreciate the fact that I'm myself. And they never know what I'm going to say next, and neither do I. And it works out well for everybody. Most of the
sounds
time,
like this show.
Warriors start calling.
Exactly. It sounds like this show.
Well, good thing. You guys have a great show. I got it right here. I got
thanks again, Marvin.
Staring at me like, Marvin, you better get to work.
Right. Appreciate it.
Oh, indeed. Thank you, Marvin. We'll see you next time.
Yep.
God
ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, Marvelous Marvin on Radio Connection Live.
All right.
Man, I gotta tell you, it's people Marvin that make me great. That guys, this is why we do what we do here on RCL. Now, Ashley, you've been quiet, but Ashley, what did you think of the interview? You were kind of absorbing today. What'd you think? She's wondering. She's speechless. Anyway, but it's people like Marvin that make me great. That's one of the reasons why I love doing Radio Connection Live, because, you know, when you hear comments like, we're his heroes, we care enough about radio, we're not just people who like to talk, we actually care about the craft of radio. And I think, guys,
Jamie, you know, we all know what radio's been through over the past 15, 20 years, because we lived it between all the mergers and acquisitions and the firings and the hirings and musical changes. It's all been there for us.
And there will be a part two to this. There will be a part two, I promise. And we'll be letting you know when that episode's going to be up. But you can hear today's program, or once it's put up. And you know, when you do this kind of show, I think it's people like Marvin and Heather Jennings, Nature Coast Country, and everybody that really helps to put it all in.
Better watch it. That's his competition.
Heather is on a different format than Marvin is, though, Tim.
Yeah, but I mean, they're still on the same market. They're still competing against each other. They're still doing, both of them are doing Morning Drive. They're both doing the Nature Coast, which is, you know, so, but yeah, they're kind of competitors, those two.
Yeah. And by the way, the next time Marvin comes back next time, I want to ask him about Q105. I'm going to ask him about 106.3. And we have two air checks of hits 106 to play. And the next time we have Marvin, I want to ask him about his DJ career, because he's done some DJ work as well. Just so many questions that we're going to ask. And guys, again, there will be a part two, I just had to get everything scheduled. And this time I will actually, you know, it won't take us 20 minutes to get started, but either way, we got things going. And Tim, it's people like us and you that we care about radio around here. That's all we've ever known is really, I mean, that's Marvin told me on the phone. He said, dude, that's our television. Radios are, you know,
yeah.
If our cable goes out today, I still got radio. If our internet goes out today, I still have radio. You know, I've got a nice Sony right here, and it's all its electronic glory. And it's people like Marvin, like Heather, like Chuck Kramer, and all the guests. This is what makes us get up in the morning and do this.
Yeah, and you know what? I liked what he said about always being yourself, because no matter if you work in radio or if you work in like retail or any other industry, that's important. You have to make the money and you got to make people happy.
Absolutely.
So I liked his words of wisdom about that too.
And Tim, anything you want to say, any final words? I mean, again, we're going to have a part two with Marvin, but any final words?
Well, I think it's great that he took the time out to join us. I don't know why he had to sit on hold for 20 minutes. I think that's terrible of us. That's on us.
Yeah, that's all right. We're
and there's no excuse for that. I was a little surprised that he didn't know the back history more of the Tampa Bay radio market. Because I was telling him stuff about, you know, stations that happened long before he got here and stuff. But, you know, for example, the WHBO thing, I remember, I can't remember where I was at that time, but the WHBO thing at one time, they were at 1050 and they were originally they were Tampa Bay's only country station.
Right.
At 1050 on the AM. And that was that way through the 60s, because apparently he doesn't know anything about Tampa Bay radio from the 60s or early 70s. But at any rate, they then went to the oldies format. And I remember what they sounded like back then, because I used to come down and listen to them. The 80s. And 90s, and then they switched over to from 1050 to 1040, and they got 10,000 watts, and that's when people actually started to listen to him, and that's when I guess he was hired there and worked there. But I would have thought that he would have known the history of that station a little more than he did. But nonetheless, it's interesting to talk to these people and find out what their perspective is, and I think it's good that they basically outline a lot of what I have been saying to you over the last several years, and that is, you know, be yourself, work hard, don't care about your audience, don't care about the size of your market, don't care about the size of the radio station, whatever that is. As long as you have that microphone in front of you and that microphone is switched on, do the best you can, work hard at it. And put yourself into everything you're doing. And don't worry about things like ratings, because they don't make any difference.
That's what Ellis said. Why do you think Z8.3, why do you think they delisted themselves from the Nielsen ratings?
Because they couldn't afford it. They couldn't afford it.
Well, there was that, but yeah. You know, when you're working in radio, the ratings really don't matter. What matters is can you do a good job? Don't worry about what your format station of. Okay, so they have a syndicated morning show. You have a local morning show. Doesn't matter.
And what was the one thing that he said that I have been saying to you guys for forever, and that's entertainment. This is about entertainment.
Yeah.
And you know, that's it's good to, you know, it's good to hear people, other people say that to you, because it's you know, helps to solidify you know, what you will do when you get out there into the business. I know, but because of the interviews that we have done and what you have heard, that you will work hard and you won't care about the ancillary stuff.
Right. You know, in other words, it doesn't matter the size of your transmitter, the size of your signal, as long as you can do the job.
The size, or or even the size of your company.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, I guarantee you, there are people at small companies like small groups like Marvin's that work really hard. I mean, and some stations use satellites, some don't. Some have local DJs, some don't. It depends on what station it is, obviously. But
doesn't matter what the size of your transmitter is; it's how you use it.
Right, and how it's used. But again, there's no reason for us to have waiting 20 minutes. We had some technical issues that we had to take care of, but we did. But next time when we see Marvin, we're going to talk about Q105, what led him to 106.3. I do want to talk about the big budget cuts that CBS Radio had back then. So we're going to go ahead and get that scheduled. And it's always fun when a guest drops by, and I anticipate more time with Marvin coming up soon. And so be watching out for that. And we will definitely be letting you guys know when that is. And so stay tuned for that. It's all, you know, guys, we love doing what we do, and people like Marvin are the reason that we do what we do every week here on Radio Connection Live. And also, it's not just the size of your antenna that matters. It's also what you do with that, as Tim said. So we do thank Marvin for giving his time to come and be with us today. It's always fun whenever we have a guest stop by. Now, we're already working hard on next week's show, so make sure to stay tuned for that. And you know what? Normally we end with John Willard and then we play Thank God for the Radio. But I'm going to do something that I usually don't do on this show, and that's I want to thank Ashley, our social media princess. Special thanks to Juan and Denny for editing our program each week. Special thanks to Tim, as always, our audio professor. And again, we want to send a very special thanks to our pal Marvelous Marvin. And we will meet again, for we surely will. And I believe that we're going to end the show a little bit differently than we started it. I guess I'm stalling because I'm trying to pull things up. But just thank you guys so much for coming along with us. A shorter show than I wanted us to do, but that's kind of our fault. But either way, a good show, nonetheless. I want to leave you now with the song that ended Q105's old format and brought in the new format. And Tim, I think you probably know the one I'm talking about, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so
Mason, we're going Mason to Leroy Dixon and Scott Shannon and Cleveland Wheeler and Terrence McKeever and even Jack Harris, for heaven's sakes, who was at the Q Morning Zoo. And see, I thought he would have had more info or would have known more about the Q Morning Zoo, but that was kind of wrapping up by the time he got here. But
Yeah. Well, folks, we're going to end it the same way these guys did, except for you'll see us next week, obviously. So be sure to join us again next time. Again, we'll be on Zoom tomorrow night, 8:00, 7 Central, so don't miss that. Until next time, together, let's keep radio alive. All right, and to close us out in song right here on Radio Connection Live is Roy Rogers. Happy trails.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling.
Who cares about the clouds if we're together?
Just sing a song and bring the sunny weather.
Happy trails to you.
others are blue.
It's the way you ride the trail that counts. Here's a happy one for you.
Happy trail.
Connection Live is screwed by Anchor Podcasting on www.anchor.fm. And even though iHeartMedia and your double account cycle having 15 radio stations, a million stations, whenever they hear us say it, this is Radio Connection Live, the podcast. For the entire team, Ashley Preston, the whole crew. See you next time, and let's keep radio alive. We'll see you soon.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Who cares about the clouds if we're together? Sing a song and bring the sunny weather.